Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. We've got a lot going on the show today. We want to open up the phone lines for you guys to vent. Fans of the Virginia Tech Hokies, we are proud to be the home for Hokies football, but I was not proud watching that game Saturday night as the Monarchs were all over Virginia Tech. ODU starts the Pry era, and they end it with victories, and that just can't happen if you're at Virginia Tech. You got to be the best team in the state of Virginia, as they have been over UVA, but have not been under Pry against ODU. And that was just really disappointing. We all want to know an update on Jaden Daniels, and we're hoping to get something from Dan Quinn at about 3:30 when he speaks to the media. Joining us right now, our buddy from the Team 980 in Washington, D.C., on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's Chris Russell. What's going on, Rooster?
Hey, what? How are you? Hope Lambeau Field treated you better than it did the Commanders.
Absolutely. You know, I was talking to my friends about the trip. I didn't deserve to see a victory. When I went to Lambeau and I hosted a live show from a bar right outside the stadium and gave Packers fans the keys to victory for how the Commanders would win. Like, I deserve to lose after doing that.
I mean, you're a confident, brave young man. and you knew while you were in enemy territory that the people of Green Bay are kind of like... You probably will understand this reference. I'm not sure how big of a baseball fan you are, but the people of St. Louis, right, with the Cardinals in baseball, are known as very, very, very passionate, loyal fans, but they're known as really nice people, right? Really supportive, not the jerks that you see in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like how Green Bay, you know, is in terms of the NFL. Yes, they love their fans, they love their team, they love their cheese, they love their beer, but they're also nice people. So you probably were able to get away with it and not lose any skin in the matter. Now, the Commanders obviously lost a lot more than just skin, let's put it that way.
Yeah, great point, though. I mean, the people of Green Bay, they thanked me for being there, said they were enjoying the show, and were hoping it was going to be a good game while I was in enemy territory talking about how right. I thought the Commanders would win the game. But, you know, let's get to the big story, which is Jaden having an MRI on his – how concerned are you, scale of 1 to 10?
You know, listen, I would say I'm mildly concerned, so, you know, you want to put it at a 3, maybe a 2. I don't know. I don't think the MRI is going to turn up anything conclusive or anything big. I mean, just the rumblings that I've heard, and I don't have anything official on it, so I want to be careful to, you know, preface that. But usually these things are precautionary, and I think what it's going to do is limit him in practice this week, and I think it might compromise him a little bit in terms of natural designed run stuff. Went Sunday against Vegas, But I don't think it's going to cost him playing in the game unless, you know, it was way worse than I've heard and way worse than anybody really thought. And, you know, I know Jaden was like, I'm fine. Remember, this team is very, very, very hesitant to be forthcoming with information about Jaden Daniels. We remember what happened last year, right? So I'm saying all this with the thought of I haven't heard anything bad, just maybe, like, again, limited in practice and maybe just not 100%, which is normal. But again, they hid basically a broken rib last year. So
yeah,
we got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And then we watched him struggle as the team went on a three-game losing streak. My concern's double yours. I'm probably at a six because it could be the first of another injury. I mean, he was beat up. I was at that game, and he got destroyed, so I'm not surprised at all that they're having an MRI. I mean, I felt for his knee with the amount of hits that he took in that game. I saw a lot of people on social media that were upset to see De'Ami Brown have success in his game there over the weekend. Does Washington have a wide receiver issue, or is it just, you know, the issue with Terry McLaurin not practicing? Because now that's at risk if Jaden's going to miss practice time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's all, you know, part and parcel with each other, and the fact that they keep counting on Noah Brown to stay on the field, and he literally cannot stay on the field.
Right.
Now, Terry, you know, look, like, Jaden missed Terry on another deep shot, in which Terry didn't get tremendous separation like he did week one, but he, I thought, got enough where if Jaden was pinpoint, he could have had him up the left sideline, or I guess it was my left sideline as I was watching the all 22 from behind. So he missed that, and then there was one throw, I want to say, like, late first quarter, early second quarter, A-Rod, where Jaden rolled to his right, which is normally his strength and his strength side, and he throws with plenty of torque and velocity, and he did let one rip on a crossing route to Terry, and Terry made a really nice adjustment and caught it behind him for 14 yards, but it was a bad throw. It was in a bad, bad spot. So I can't kill Terry just yet until further notice. I think for whatever reason, it's just they're a little bit off, and that was a perfect example. The play goes for 14. If you just look it up in the box score, you think, oh, it was a target and a strike, and, you know, everything was normal. But it was anything but that, and then I mentioned the two deeper shots that they've missed on. So, yeah, it's all part and parcel with that. And then, again, counting on Noah Brown when you should never, ever, ever count on Noah Brown ever. And I'm not Johnny-come-lately on that. I've been saying that, you know, since literally he got here. You know, and now without Eckler, I know they signed, apparently they've agreed to terms with Chase Edmonds, the veteran former Arizona running back on the practice squad. I assume Donovan Edwards might get a call up, or actually, you know what, Chris Rodriguez would be activated. Maybe Donovan Edwards gets called up to the roster. I'm not sure how that will play itself out on Sunday, but they are adding, obviously, some pieces to try and offset some of the losses that they have. And don't forget, you mentioned De'Ami Brown. Not only did he score a touchdown, but they lost De'Ami Brown, Alamide Zaccheaus, and Jamison Crowder from last year's team. That's three of their top five receivers, all missing from last year. So that was overlooked in the offseason, and I kept mentioning it. Nobody seemed to have a problem with it. Well, maybe it is a problem.
Yeah. Well, that and the fact that Terry McLaurin has not been worth $15 million, let alone $30 million, it's pissing me off. And I'm sure everybody else is upset that him and Jaden are not on the same page. I do love Dan Quinn's Tell the Truth Monday. What would be your Tell the Truth Monday thoughts? Mine are, Chris, for the first time in the Dan Quinn era, I didn't think the coaching staff had them ready to play.
Yeah, I said on Friday that this is exactly the scenario that I was worried about with a softish camp, and you were up there plenty. I know you and I weren't at every single practice, but we were around enough to know that it wasn't exactly a boot camp by any means. And on top of that, not playing guys a lot, if any, at all in the preseason. And I think it They got away with it against a shaky, questionable Giants team. They did not get away with it on a short week on the road against a Super Bowl contender and a team that arguably, even before the game on Thursday night, was better. So to me, when you look at all of that kind of combining, you look at the lack of adjustments from Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, you know, like, I really thought that game kind of sort of went extra sideways when they lost John Bates as a blocker, and the ability really to use 12 personnel in that game for both the run and extra pass protection, which I thought was a huge key coming in. But Awad, why wasn't Ben Sinnott asked to do more? Like, what are we doing here? Like, if Ben Sinnott's not going to be a big player in the pass target game, which clearly he's not, then he's got to be able to do something, and he's got to be able to block. No. And I just didn't see that as a counter and an adjustment from Cliff Kingsbury. I didn't see. I mean, I was just watching early third quarter, all 22. Ja'Cory Kroski-Marin, a.k.a. Bill, I mean, he's got some vicious cutting ability, in a good way vicious. And for him to get, what, six carries? Or seven carries, whatever it was? Just mystifying. Mystifying. That was a one touchdown game, 13 minutes left. Mystifying. So, yes, I didn't think the coaching staff, and then whatever they did at before the half was just atrocious for a second week in a row.
Yeah. Speaking of Bill, I think he was benched. I think there had to have been something, and I'll go back and watch the film, that he either missed a block or missed an assignment or something, because I think that has to be the answer for why there was so much Eckler in this game. Chris, it's frustrating that they had such a defeat, but also you have to give the Packers a lot of credit. What are one or two things you think the Commanders have to be better at this Sunday to defeat the Raiders?
Winning at the line of scrimmage, which is what they did consistently against the Giants, which is easier said than done, but the Raiders are a little bit beat up at center, and they're not a great offensive line to begin with. If you don't win at the line of scrimmage, you're not stopping Ashton Jeanty. Now, the thing you hope for, or at least the thing I hope for, is that the Raiders get so beat up tonight, Awad, playing late Monday night football at home in a divisional game, and then have the long travel out west and play an early game on Sunday. The NFL did them no favors, but if they get beat up a little bit at center, or if the Commanders can have one of those week one type games as opposed to week two, where I thought they were getting pushed up back a little bit, and certainly did not have the pass rush pressure in most cases, you know, then that will go a long way to helping them win that game. And then the other thing just that I would say real quickly, and this is obviously non-Jaden division, he needs to be better. We all know that, Terry, so on and so forth. You know, special teams is going to have to be better than it was. At times, it was good on Thursday night, at times. And then Matt Gay also missed the two field goals, and you see around the league, there's either, you know, there's a lot of high and a lot of low on special teams. Well, they were a little mix of both on Thursday night. They're going to have to be a lot more consistent, especially Matt Gay, in that area, in order to win some of these games that maybe you don't have your best stuff that night for whatever reason.
Really appreciate the time, Rooster. Thanks a lot.
You got it, Awad. I'll talk to you soon, pal.
Yep, you're listening to Awad Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on Richmond's home for the Hokies, the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You thought that was bad. They doubled up the lead, made it 28-0 at the break, and would go on to win in the final game of the Coach Pry era in Blacksburg as head coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies. If you want to chime in, give us your thoughts. 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Joining us right now in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning hot seat, it is Hokie Steve. Now, luckily, you're not actually in the hot seat, but Coach Pry was this season, yeah. And it heated up too much with that back-to-back home losses.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, what did we say, you know, 2 months ago? They had to get off to a good start. And, you know, we talked about the 3-1, right? 3-1. Well, now, guess what? That is impossible. They're 0-3. And I agree. The breaking, you know, the breaking point was certainly the first half Saturday in Blacksburg. When you go A-wide on six drives in the first half, and this is the Hokies, I'm not going to talk about ODU, you're 3-and-out. You got negative 10 yards after two drives. And then you go fumble, interception, punt, fumble. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, it was an absolute disaster. And at 28-0, everybody knew it was probably over at 14-0, to be honest with you. And there was just lack, you know, it just looked like, I hate to say kids quit on somebody, but gosh, that looked a lot like that Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of felt like he regrouped them at halftime, but they were lost in the second quarter. I know we've had people chime in that say they made the trip to Blacksburg, they left at halftime. Where were you at?
Actually, I stayed because I was actually down. You know, I was down in South Carolina this week, and I came back Saturday. It took me 7 hours to get there, so I actually put a lot of effort into getting to Blacksburg, so I was even more not happy about it. I left at the end of the third quarter.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I stayed because, you know, like I said, we had spent most of the day in the car, and so I stayed around for most of the third quarter, but I was out of there.
I mean, when was the last time you left early? I mean, think about that, right?
Actually, one time in the Justin Fuente era, I think we were playing Syracuse, and we went down like 28-0 or 28-7 early in the third quarter. I left early in a game, even earlier than I did Saturday night, once in the Fuente era, but never in the Coach Beamer era did I ever leave a game early.
Yeah, absolutely. So Coach Pry relieved of his duties, but let's hear his post-game thoughts one more time, Stubb. It is Brent Pry speaking to the media following the 45-26 loss to the ODU Monarchs, who happened to start the Pry era with a win, and now they end the Pry era with a win. Congratulations to ODU. Here was the former head coach of the Hokies, Brent Pry, after the game.
Not the direction I saw our team going tonight. We couldn't get stops. We had all of a sudden penalties became a major issue, and especially some critical ones that, you know, we just couldn't get any momentum going. We turned the ball over in the red zone. we get a turnover and we can't cash in on it. You know, there were flashes in the game of the ability to run the ball. There was flashes of the ability to throw the ball, but not near consistent enough. Clearly, it starts with me. Coaches, players, everybody's accountable here. We got to get back to the basics and find a way to be closer to the team that we can be. Because that was I give Old Dominion credit and Coach Ronnie. They got a nice team. They gave Indiana fits. But we clearly didn't play well enough at all, not to even be in the game. So
he probably knew that he was out of a job at halftime. How do you think that conversation went with him and the AD?
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple people, I think, involved, not just the AD. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, if you take a look at the second half of the Vanderbilt game and the first half of the Old Dominion game, that's 62-0. I mean, that's just
– at home.
At home. Two beautiful nights in Blacksburg. It's a packed house. Kind of surprised, I mean, how packed it was for the Old Dominion game. Now, this weekend for a noon kickoff, there's going to be a lot of empty seats in there, doubt about that one. But it was just time. There was nothing. I saw nothing in the first 3 weeks that would lead me to believe that it's going to get any better in the next 9 weeks. So, you know, go ahead and cut him loose. Like you said, Philip Montgomery is the interim head coach, and he won't be around next year. But he does have head coaching experience. I think he coached, you know, Tulsa for over almost 100 games. So that's your, you know, so we'll see what happens. The season is basically over. I mean, they might sneak up on somebody. We'll see. But, I mean, this is trending to be, you know, the worst year record-wise in Virginia Tech football in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's an awful start. 0-3. Now, I'd have to fully dive into the NCAA rules.
Right.
But I think they should have kept Pry around for another week because of that. You could have a mass exodus to the point where the program is set back for multiple years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the possibility. There's also the same possibility that whoever they bring in next year is going to bring in a ton of new guys. I mean, with the portal, you can make a quicker a turnaround than you used to be able to. If you go back and look at Georgia Tech 3 years ago under Jeff Collins, and they were an absolute train wreck. Well, they gave the keys to Brett Key, and look at Georgia Tech now. I mean, it's been a couple years, but Georgia Tech's been trending upward. But with the portal, there's an opportunity to flip the switch pretty good. Better example of that would be Kurt Cignetti, what he did at Indiana in 1 year.
Yeah, but there's also the other side of
it. Yeah, there
right?
is.
I mean, you can absolutely flip a program in the positive direction in 1 year, but also it's hard to build a program back up when you look at the last few years. I mean,
I just think it was so bad, and I don't disagree with you. Quite honestly, I think they needed to actually let the AD go first,
yeah,
and then let, you know, Brent Pry stick around maybe for a few more weeks, and then cut him loose maybe in October. There's going to be a change at the AD spot as well. That's coming.
Can you provide some details about the meeting that will take place at the end of the month and why it is important that Whit Babcock is here for that?
Well, I think, you know, the Board of Visitors, who he made the presentation to, and again, I think it was a great presentation. It's just a little bit too late. We needed this presentation needed to be made a couple of years ago, maybe even 3 or 4 years ago.
Why do you think it wasn't? Because there's certainly a commitment to football in Blacksburg.
It's not as great as I thought it was, and it needs to be a lot better. And that's where this 50, you know, he asked for basically $50 million. If they're going to get that $50 million, and I think they are, but this presentation needed to be made a while ago, and I think that's a huge mark on Whit. Is timing is everything, right? And I think he, for whatever reason, did not, you know, maybe he saw it coming down the pike. Maybe it was just a situation where, you know, he had to pick and choose when to go to war with this message. This message just needed to be made a while ago.
Tell me why, you know, I just said, I think it was the wrong decision to fire Coach Pry 3 weeks into the season when the rule is if you play 4 weeks, right, then they can't transfer.
Right.
But tell me why it wasn't the right decision to fire Coach Pry at the end of last season. Instead of letting him handpick a new offense coordinator, a new defense coordinator, strength and conditioning coach, we all knew, Stubb knew,
yeah,
he wasn't the right face of the program
right
with the way he was leading it.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it was a culture hire for Virginia Tech, certainly with his past experience being on staff for Coach Beamer.
But, like, coming into this season, I was talking myself into some excitement about new offensive coordinator that worked with RG3. But we knew Drones wasn't the guy.
Yeah.
It would have you could have had Vince Lombardi. Was it going to make a difference?
I think at this point in the Brent Pry era, he went out and got the two best guys he could get. But my guess is he got turned down by a lot of other guys before they got Philip Montgomery and Sam Cefkus.
Right, because now if you're Cefkus, you're like, what did I just walk myself into?
Well,
I was in the National Football League.
They had to know that. I mean, quite honestly, they had to know that when they were taking a huge risk coming into a program where you had a coach that was on the hot seat and it could get hot very quickly, and obviously it did.
Let's talk about some candidates that will take over for Coach Pry and how the rest of the season will go. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. 833-804-0910. It's a tough day for those fans of the Hokies. 833-804-0910. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOT on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local here on a Monday, September 15th, just after 2 p.m., joined by Hokie Steve as we broadcast live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. Take an extended lunch break on a Monday. If you're a Hokies fan, you deserve a beer after what you witnessed in Blacksburg over the weekend. Steve, do you have a perfect candidate in mind here? Had you even had a list before? Because I think we both thought Pry was going to stick with this job.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody thought that we were going to lose this badly.
I didn't put this list together until today.
Yeah.
So, because I knew obviously you were going to ask me that. But first of all, this has got to be a hire of an established head football coach.
Yeah.
Okay?
Can you just tell all the Hokies fans that want Michael Vick? No.
No. I just straight up no. And Shane Beamer, no. Neither one of those is going to happen.
Vic would say yes. Shane would not say yes.
Hopefully Vic is smart enough to realize there's no way in hell 3 games into a season that he should even be a candidate for the job. It's everybody loves Michael Vick, and I get that. And certainly watching him play 2 years in Blacksburg was a great deal. But he needs to stay at Norfolk State. He needs to at least be down there a couple years to get the experience of a head coach before he can make that next move. All right, at least Deion Sanders did that at Jackson State, what, for 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
So he had that ability. Shane Beamer, he's making, you know, $8-9 million in South Carolina, and I really think, honestly, he took the South Carolina. He doesn't want to be. He said there's one Coach Beamer at Virginia Tech, and that's my dad.
Yeah, and I also think it's bigger than that. He understands the SEC is the powerhouse. ACC is not,
right? Because if he takes a step back. I mean, if he were to come back to Virginia Tech, things did not go well. And then in 2030, 2031, you have that next realignment move. And, you know, God forbid the Hokies get left behind. He just kind of screwed himself. But Shane Beamer is not an option.
So you can give us your thoughts, 833-804-0910. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. I've had multiple tweets asking for Dan Mullen.
I love that. In fact, Dan Mullen, even before I heard you mention, you know, he was at University of Florida. And Dan Mullen had three really good years at Florida. He was 10-3, 11-2, and 8-4. He only had one bad year with the Gators, and that was his last year. He was 5-6, but he's at UNLV right now.
And he could take the team with him.
He could pretty much bring Anthony Calandria as a quarterback.
Yeah.
So not only
– You don't think he would love to come back and get his revenge against Virginia?
Play against the Hoos. I think Mullen's making around $3.5 million at UNLV, so he could easily – the Hokies got to easily could double that salary, bring him here, and he could bring a ton of players with him from UNLV. And obviously he's been a head coach at Mississippi State. He's been a head coach at Florida. And now
his resume might be the best of all the guys you're going to go through.
And he's got UNLV 3-0 after 3 weeks.
Yeah, so feels like he's the top candidate on social media. Do you have another guy you'd like to throw out
there? I love – and this is who I love, and most people are not going to maybe recognize this guy, but John Summerall, he's the head coach at Tulane. All he's done at Tulane, first of all, he played linebacker in the SEC at Kentucky. He coached at Kentucky. I think he's an Alabama native. He's 35-9, AWOD, after he was 23-4 at Troy in 2 years, and then he's 12-5 so far at Tulane. All he's done is win.
Does he have enough experience? Only 43.
I think you know, 2 years in the Sun Belt, you know, 2 years at Tulane, playing in the SEC, growing up in that environment, and then recruiting in that environment, I think he does.
How do you think the fan base would handle? From Tulane, here comes the new head coach of the Hokies.
I mean, it's not the glitzy hire that Dan Mullen is, would be, but I think you're also, again, my key issue is getting a guy in there, again, like I said.
That can bring a team.
Pry was a culture hire, but he had no head coaching experience. I've got to have a guy that has been a head coach at least for 3, 4, 5 years. John Summerall fits that bill. So does Alex Golish at USF. Not as much, but he's turned a really bad situation at South Florida into a pretty good situation. Now the Canes slapped him around pretty good Saturday, and I'll give you another name. Again, it's not a splashy hire, but Ryan Silverfield, the head coach at Memphis, 45-21.
Mm-hmm.
He's been at his last 2 years, 10-3, 11-2. He's 3-0 this year. So there's a couple of names. You know, not as high up as the Dan Mullen name. How about Pat Fitzgerald, formerly from Northwestern? He's available. All right, so that's another name as well. You're even going to potentially hear, this is a guy who wants to get back into coaching. He will never be hired again in the NFL. But John Gruden is a name.
Dude,
Do not. I mean, I think
you believe these rumors?
I think it's a long, long, long shot. But I think John Gruden, the right situation, would come back to college football.
His name is being floated around. And I think it would be the home run hire.
I would actually prefer to have Dan Mullen over him.
But what is the relationship to Blacksburg there? His name out for UCLA as well.
Right. Just because of his great experience in the National Football League, but he's not going to get an NFL job again. So it just depends on, does he really want to get back into coaching, and what's the best situation for him as a college job?
And I think of the guys you name, Ryan Silverfield is kind of really interesting. He's been at Memphis for a long enough time that he established a program there, and you could take a team with you.
Right.
He's got the Hampton-Sydney ties. Right?
I was going to say, he's a Florida native, and he played at Hampton-Sydney.
Yeah. So he knows the area.
You're going to hear some other names too. Tyson Helton at Western Kentucky. I think his record is, I've got his record down at 50-33 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Chesney at JMU. If JMU has a great year, you know, his name is going to be thrown in there as well.
Yeah.
Will Stein, who is not a head coach, but he's a current offensive coordinator at Oregon. That is a hot, hot name for somebody. He's coached at Texas, and he played at Louisville, so he does have some flavor for the ACC.
Are there any guys that are assistants at a bigger program in a bigger conference?
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
That have a tie to Virginia Tech, though?
I'm trying to think of who that might be. I'm blanking on it.
Mm-hmm. Will Stein's 35. That'd be a wild hire right there.
There's another guy, Buster Faulkner, who's the offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech, who was at Georgia with Kirby Smart, and now he's at Georgia Tech, and obviously Georgia Tech, and you know, again, the Canes look better than I thought they were, but the team that, you know, we talked about Clemson and we talked about Louisville, but Georgia Tech's a team that stepped up now, and they look really good after 3 weeks.
No, they absolutely do.
But, I would say Summerall, Golish, Silverfield from Memphis, and then the splashy hire is a guy named Dan Mullen.
Yeah. So let's talk about Gruden for a second, though, because that seems to be, like, fans of the program that aren't maybe haven't been watching recently.
Or, yeah.
Wow, NFL guy. I know Gruden.
Yeah.
Do you think it could actually work?
I guess we're going to find out what's going on in Chapel Hill over the next 10-9 games. And if that goes well, I think that maybe even makes it even more of a possibility.
Because it does feel like now is the time to take a shot on an NFL guy. We've had others have success. It feels like it's closer than it'll ever be to the NFL with pretty much open free agency every offseason. Kind of makes sense to go the NFL route.
Again, I think people are really looking at what Belichick and what's going on down at North Carolina. If that goes well, I think and again, does John Gruden want to get back into coaching? I've heard that he does. And I've heard that, you know, for the right situation, that he would come back to college football. So, it'll be very interesting to see. To me, even this goes back to when they hired Justin Fuente when Dan Mullen was at Mississippi State. I really thought he had taken the Bulldogs as far as he could down in Starkville, and I was hoping that he, and I think he did have some interest in that job back then. He didn't get it. Justin Fuente, which everybody said was going to be the home run hire, that didn't work out either. But he didn't have nearly the resources that Brent Pry does right now, which obviously that hasn't worked out either. So they need, to me, again, they need to get a guy in there who has been an experienced head coach who knows how to turn a program around. And then you've got to go out and you've got to get a general manager that knows what they're doing, because right now it's, you know, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, I think I like Dan Mullen more than Gruden, but I keep going back to Ryan Silverfield.
All right.
He was under Coach Norvell, so
right.
He's familiar, right,
yep,
with what he's done in the ACC at Florida State. Like you said, the Hampton-Sydney alma mater, the fact that he went there, and not only has he had success in Memphis, he's had NFL stops as well.
Correct.
With the Minnesota Vikings, with the Detroit Lions, and like I said, I think an NFL guy would make sense for this.
Yeah. All those three, those were my top four. Sumrall, Silverfield, Golish, and Dan Mullen. And I think the Hokies, if they could get any one of those four, I would be very happy.
Is there another guy that has absolute ties to the program that we're forgetting, right? Like, you know, one of the defensive line coaches for the Washington Commanders, Daryl Tapp,
right,
has the Hokies connection. It wouldn't be the right guy.
No, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. We need somebody to come in and basically just coach ball, right? We just need somebody that can come in and recruit and rechange the culture back to what Virginia Tech was under Coach Beamer. Daryl Tapp is a great coach, but this is not the time for Daryl Tapp.
No, but I just wonder if there's someone that's in that category that we're forgetting.
Yeah, I'm not. Nobody's coming to mind right now,
yeah.
And I'll think about it, and I'll text you if I do. But you know, right now, again, it's early, and again, it's really early, right? We're talking week four. We're not even kicking off week four, and we're talking about a new head coach at Virginia Tech.
So I've had a lot of people message me and ask for Whit Babcock to resign or to be fired. What do you think will be the official statement from the Hokies and the athletic department on Whit Babcock?
I think it's going to take a little bit more time. I do think he will be stepping down at some point, whether it's, you know, I mean, I think
probably 3 weeks, right? I mean, keep your eye on the end of the month.
If you look at it, I think what makes sense is for him to, once the BOV gets together, makes a decision to, you know, throw in money to the program or add the resources that they need. Then I think, and then the search is underway, I think, right now for a new AD. And certainly once the AD is hired, then he will step out of the picture.
Yeah. So Philip Montgomery could be the coach for the entire rest of the season.
I think he'll be the interim. Yeah, I see him being the interim coach for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And then, like you said, though, you cannot have Babcock hire the new guy.
No. And they've already said that. They've already said Whit will be, you know, part of the process, but he will not be the determining factor on who they bring in as their next coach. And that's another thing too. I really want the new AD in place as soon as possible, because if I'm a candidate like Dan Mullen or John Sumrall or Ryan Silverfield as a candidate, I want to know who my boss is going to be, right? I want to know who I'm working for next year. So that's, to me, that's critical why you need to get the new AD in place, because then you can say, all right, look, here's our guy, and you're going to come be working for this guy. Otherwise, there's going to be that no man's land thing. And if I'm a guy like a John Sumrall or whoever, I'm going, I don't know if I want to get in that situation, because I don't want to say yes and then find out that I'm working for an AD that I don't get along with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You have to follow the correct order of operations. Steve, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now.
You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. Myself and Michael Phillips were in Lambeau to see Washington take on the Packers, and I witnessed Jaden Daniels get his knee destroyed on a play in which he was running away from Micah Parsons, got slammed, and did a flip and a somersault. All right. Later on in the game, he was tackled, and it looked like his ankle kind of fell in a weird way, and it was reported by Grant Paulson he had an MRI. We're waiting for Dan Quinn to speak to the media in about an hour. All right, so we're waiting for Dan Quinn to speak to the media, but this is what Adam Schefter had to say on the Pat McAfee show.
And the other quarterback to watch today will be Jaden Daniels. Obviously came up a little limpy on Thursday night in Green Bay, and I think they did some testing over the weekend, and I think Dan Quinn will address the media today, and we'll see what that is, whether his status for Sunday is in question at all. Don't know yet. I don't think it's serious in any kind of way, but I do think that we're going to hear something there regarding some sort of issue with Jaden Daniels. That's my sense of things, and we'll see how that plays out. They're working through it right now.
So that's what Adam Schefter said. And then he reached out to league sources, and he followed up that statement with a tweet that has me concerned. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels has a knee injury that has his status for Sunday's game versus the Raiders in question. The injury is not believed to be serious, but it remains uncertain whether Daniels will be able to play Sunday. We'll speak to Dan Quinn at 3:30. I'm kind of expecting him to say he's day-to-day and that he will lose time this week to practice. I was concerned. As I talked with Chris Russell earlier, I said I'm at a 6 or at a 10 because I was there and I saw how many hits he had on his knee. I saw him walking around very gingerly in that locker room, and I saw how big of an ice pack that was on his knee. He did not look like himself. He is such a gamer that he said, don't take me out. But even when I spoke with Brandon Coleman, it kind of felt like he revealed something when he says it's not just it's effing frustrating to see Jaden Daniels get hit like that, but he said, we never want to see him get hurt. And Jaden Daniels is hurt. And it might not be a injury that forces him to miss time, but he is hurt. He's absolutely hurt. What does that mean in the National Football League? It's different, right? I mean, if it was me, I'd be whining and crying, right? But I'm not playing in the National Football League. Everybody plays hurt. That's just what happens, right? So will he be at 100%? I don't think so. But will he be good enough to play? Hopefully. But that was not a good update from Adam Schefter. After he kind of came out and told everyone not a major concern, he absolutely walked that back with his tweet. And that tells me he has heard from a league source or maybe somebody inside of the building. Again, though, Washington, this new ownership group and the new front office has been really good at keeping Jaden Daniels' injuries a secret. We all found out after the season that he had a broken rib in the three-game losing streak, and he threw a Hail Mary with that broken rib as well, right? But nobody knew about that during the season last year. So I'm not sure how much of a actual report we'll get from Dan Quinn. He'll have to talk about his status for Sunday, though, and he will absolutely show up on an injury report on Wednesday. But that is not great news. Adam Schefter following it up with another tweet now saying Jaden Daniels is dealing with a knee sprain. I think it was severely bruised. That's what I'll say. It was the one that really concerned me was the one that was, like I'm talking about, was a somersault where it looked like helmet, direct contact on the knee. Direct contact on the knee with a helmet. I mean, that's like a bowling ball into your knee. Especially with the way the players were attacking him, and he got beat up all night on Thursday. So we'll hear from Dan Quinn at 3:30. And I don't want to speculate at all. I'm just telling you what Adam Schefter has reported locally. Grant Poulsen reported the MRI. Then J.P. Finley said he has heard some concern, but not major concern. Major concern would be missing the entire season. Some concern. I think there's a chance that he misses the game on Sunday. It might be Marcus Mariota. I'm holding out hope that he would be able to play. I just don't want this minor injury to lead to a major injury because they didn't give him a full time to heal. And I don't think that 9 days, even though it's a lot of time, it's the most time he's going to have all season, is enough time to deal with a knee sprain that really might be swollen and affecting his ability to move around the pocket. Luckily, though, Jaden plays through pain, but, man, he is so important to this team. This is a killer right here, and it's kind of one of my biggest fears, for sure, because this was a guy that means everything to this team, and we need him. Like, I know EB said on his show, right, if he misses 2 games, that's a massive deal. I'm kind of feeling the same way here, because this schedule is going to get a lot more difficult in the second half of the season. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.